your Bible to open it to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. That's where we're going to be this morning, 2 Timothy 3:16. I want to begin to talk to you, actually I want to begin a new series on some values that we have as a church family. And you know what values are, right? Your mama taught you some good values as a kid when you were growing up. One of them was honesty. She told you not to lie, taught you not to lie. Another one should have been hard work. She taught you how to work for a living and told you, what's that passage that your mom was always quoting from the Apostle Paul? He who does not work does not eat, something like that. Another value that your mom taught you should have been integrity. She taught you to be a man or a woman of your word. And those are general values that everybody's mama should have taught them. But there are also some specific Christian values that you've probably been taught along the way. One of them is the value of prayer, and knowing that you should be a person of prayer who takes things to the Lord in prayer. And the value of sharing your faith in Christ, telling other people about Jesus. It's funny how people who don't know Jesus don't get that. They're like, why do you always have to be out there sharing your faith, proselytizing, pushing your religion down people's throats? And of course, you can't do that. We don't push our religion down people's throats. But as a Christian, when you find something good, you want to share that with other people. That's a value that you hold. Reading your Bible daily, preparing your heart for eternity. Those are values that you as a Christian hold personally. But there are other values that you probably hold as a church family. We have values that we hold personally. And I know we've done this for years. Like the missionary emphasis that we have shows that we really value the reality that lost people matter to God, no matter where they are. And to the regions beyond, we will go to tell people about Jesus. And the time that we spend in prayer, on prayer meeting. I was talking to Joe Birchall this past week, and I said to him, I'm not sure where to go with my prayer meetings these days, what to preach on in prayer meeting. And he said, well, how many people do you have? And I said, I don't know, anywhere from 20 to, on a really good night, maybe 40. And he said, man, you have more people out for Wednesday night prayer meeting than Lancaster Alliance Church, which has several people out for Sunday morning. And he said, that's just amazing. Well, what does that tell you about Kerwinsville Alliance? It tells you that we value prayer, that we believe prayer is an important thing to do. And the caring that you exhibit toward one another, the Operation Christmas Joy that you're doing for the SMAs tells me that you value love and loving one another and having loving relationships and the presence of Sunday school and Bible programs and ladies' Bible study and the Monday night study down at the Towers tells me that you value Bible teaching. These values that we have had for years and years are really things that we have held dear to our heart. And years ago, in fact, it was in 1996, in a Sunday evening service at Kerwinsville Alliance, we kind of listed some of these values and gave them some names. We found them in our own history. We borrowed some of the names from other churches, and we agreed unanimously that these were things that tell us who we are. And if you think about these values, and if you study the life of great men of history in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, like Paul Little and A.W. Tozer and A.B. Simpson, you know that these values, these core values, have been part of who the Alliance is for better than a century. They tell us who we are. And my concern is, here's my concern. My concern is that as time goes by, we drift away from them. And all of a sudden, prayer isn't important to us anymore. And the lost people don't matter to us like they used to matter to us. And teaching the Bible isn't as important as it was because we got a good basketball program going and we have a really neat seniors thing going and we have a special concert series that we're performing. Or whatever it is we're doing, that becomes what we value instead of these core values that have been part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance for over 100 years. And so because of that, I want to you on Sunday mornings over the next several weeks, I want to bring these values and put them right in your face so that we remember them and everything we do in ministry flows from our mission, which is to know God and make Him known, and is steered and channeled by the values that we've held for years. Now, those values are always on the bottom of your bulletin. And if I was smarter, I'd have had the value at the bottom of your bulletin be the one that I'm going to share with you this morning. but I'm not that smart. So I had Tim put it on a projector, and I'd like you to read it this morning with me. Tim, can you bring that up? Okay, great. It says, the Kermansville Alliance believes that anointed teaching is the catalyst for transformation in individuals' lives and in the church. Teaching is for life change. We talked about this on November 17th, 1996. And I kind of want to take this apart. I want to look at it. And then we're going to look at some scripture and see how that bears out in scripture and how we can apply it. And I really want to begin with the first phrase there, or the first thing I have underlined there, anointed teaching. Kermansville Alliance believes that anointed teaching is a catalyst for change. Do you know what that word anointed means? It's not a word that we use today much. It's not a very culturally relevant kind of word, but it's a very, very biblical kind of word. It's an important word that we don't use. You know that the very word Messiah or Christ means anointed one. And you know that in the Old Testament, when they were preparing for sacrifices, they would anoint the altar where they were making the sacrifices. You know also that when David was chosen king, that Samuel went and anointed him, poured oil over his head as a symbol of the Holy Spirit covering him, that this man was God's man for the job of being the king of Israel. And you know that when you're sick, you'll come forward, and probably if we wanted to be real biblical, we'd take about a quart of olive oil and dump it over your head and pray for you to be made well. We would anoint you, because anoint means to be covered. And when we say an anointed teacher, what we're saying is a teacher who is covered, not with oil, but covered by the Holy Spirit. That God's Spirit is upon him. God's Spirit is using him. God's Spirit is in control of him. You see, we don't want teachers at Kermansville Alliance who are clever, have good gimmicks, who know how to be slick in their presentation. But rather, we want teachers at Kermansville Alliance who have the Holy Spirit of God covering them so that what they say is Spirit-driven and done by the Holy Spirit. Anointed teachers are teachers who have the Spirit of God covering them. And by the way, that doesn't mean they're always right. Doesn't make them infallible. Speaking of infallibility, I heard a joke this past week. Do you know why the Pope feels that he's infallible? Because he's never been married. Okay, that was just to wake you up a little bit there, okay? All right? But that doesn't mean, when we say our teachers are anointed, that doesn't mean that they're infallible. What it means is that the Holy Spirit is at work in their teaching, and he's covering their teaching. The next phrase that I want to highlight includes the word catalyst. You know what a catalyst is, right? A catalyst is an agent that speeds something else up. It's really important that you notice that it doesn't say anointed teaching is the means for transformation. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who does the changing. He is the one who changes you. But a catalyst is an ingredient that speeds that process up. For example, if you have a block of ice and you have it in 34 degree temperature, that ice will melt slowly, turn to water. But if you pour salt upon it, that salt acts as a catalyst to hasten that process. Well, that's what anointed teaching does. The Holy Spirit wants to change you. He wants to melt your heart. He wants to form you into someone that God wants you to be. And teaching is a catalyst to make that happen more quickly, even more efficiently. And that he's a catalyst for, the next slide says, transformation. He's a catalyst to change you, to transform you. Transformation, that's not like a new paint job. We're not saying that if you have anointed teaching and the Holy Spirit's at work in your life, then we can just paint you over and you look better than you used to. What it means, transformation means you're changed from the inside out. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't just come in and clean the outside of the cup while the inside of it remains full of dead man's bones. What the Spirit of God does, what the Spirit of Christ does, is changes you, transforms you from the inside out so that you become made like Jesus in holiness and in purity. And that transformation is speeded along through anointed teaching. If you do not have any anointed teaching in your life, the Spirit of God can still change you, but that process will be very slow. Very slow. I can remember many times people who came, started coming to church, who didn't go to church in the past because they didn't feel like they really needed it. They were Christians, they came to Christ and were in an unchurched Christian family. And all of a sudden, they started growing like crazy. And I can remember one girl, her name was Jean, she said, "I cannot believe how much I thought I knew and how little I really knew and how I have grown since I have been attending Sunday school. How quickly I am growing compared to what I was for the past 5 years of my life." Was the Spirit of God at work in Jean's life? Yes, she was a Christian. But her growth was so slow until anointed teaching came into her life. Anointed teaching transforms the life of the individual. And the next slide says that anointed teaching is teaching for life change. You see that, the teaching? The bottom line says the teaching is for life change. And maybe that should be hyphenated, life change. But what it means is, it's to change who you are. There was a woman one time, I was only in ministry a short time, and this dear, dear saint came up to me. She was just a few years older than I was, and I was probably 25. And she said to me, "I don't like your preaching." I said, "Why not? I mean, that kills you, you know. I know I'm lousy at it, but why?" Because I was brand new at the time. And she said, "Because it makes me feel like I have to change." And I said, "Oh, boy, you and I are going to be in a big collision for the rest of our time together unless one of us sees something differently." I think that's what anointed teaching is for. It's to help you change, to show you your need to change. It's not to entertain you. It's not to just make you feel all touchy-feely, good and gooey. It's to help you change. Now, I told you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3:16. Some of those changes you need to make might be things like you need to grow up. You need to take heart and take courage, or you need to start or stop doing something, or you need to believe that God loves you deeply. But whatever the change is, anointed teaching is a catalyst to help bring about that life change. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Listen as I read it. "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Wow. That kind of says it's hard to find a passage of Scripture that isn't laid out there so that you can change, so that life change, transformation would not come about in your heart. Now, you know, the Bible's full of commands about teaching. You think in Romans chapter 12, it's listing the gifts of the Spirit, and it says, you know, different gifts according to the grace given us, prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith, serving, let him serve, if it's teaching, let him teach. And so I see that teaching is really a gift of the Spirit. That's why it's anointed. The Holy Spirit is at work in teaching. I believe that teaching is a gift that God has given me. I believe that he has given me the ability from his Spirit to communicate to you something that his word is saying that's relevant to your life to help bring about transformation in your life. But guess what? That gift isn't for me. I don't go, "Ha, it's cool. I got the gift of teaching. Yeah." That gift is really for two people other than me. Number one, God gives me that gift for his glory. So that when I teach, I don't teach you how cool Steve Shields is. I teach you how glorious God is. And so in a sense, the gift is given to me to steward so that I can give it back to God. So number one, it's for him. But number two, that gift is given to you as an individual and as a church. You have been given gifts of God whenever he gave you teachers to teach. Perry Connor has been given a gift of teaching. He sits up there, stands up there in Sunday school each Sunday morning, and he explains to people what the Word of God means. That's not just a gift to Perry, that's a gift to his class. Laurel Shields has been given the gift of teaching on Thursday mornings. A half a dozen, maybe 10 women come down, they sit and they drink coffee and have coffee cake in the Sunday school room at the end of the hall there. And Laurel explains to them, here's what's the subject now, a woman of grace. Here's what the Bible says about being a woman of grace. And God has given her gift of teaching to that class as a gift so they can grow in their faith. Anointed teaching is really a gift to you. And its basis, the basis for all teaching, is the Bible. You remember, you're still open to the 2 Timothy 3 passage, right? Look at it again. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for these things. The things that it's useful for are right at the top of the list, teaching. And I think Paul lists teaching first because if you are teaching, then there's less need to be rebuking. And if you are teaching, then there's less need to be correcting. And he ends, he kind of begins and ends with teaching. Training in righteousness is teaching. So Scripture comes from God so that it can be used to teach us how to live holy lives. The basis of teaching has to be the Bible. I remember when I was a kid, my dad would go to Sunday school class sometimes, and he'd come home. If we went somewhere to visit in a church, we always went to whatever service they were having, Sunday school and the whole works, you know? And I can remember we'd come back from that, and Dad would say, that teaching wasn't from the Bible. Because maybe it was a class on parenting. Classes on parenting are great, but my dad and I agree that they need to come from the Bible, not from Dr. Spock, you know? Or whoever that guy was back in the 60s or 70s that told us to quit spanking our kids. You understand? The anointed teaching has got to be based in Scripture. And in this lifetime, the aim of it is to help you serve God. The aim of anointed teaching is to help you. Well, look again. Right here it is, verse 17. Why is the Scripture given for teaching? So the man of God, that would be you, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You understand that knowing about God is never the sake of... Knowing about God for the sake of knowing information is never the end of teaching. It's not just so that you can win some kind of theological argument that you go to Sunday school. It's not just so that you can win a Bible trivia contest on a Christian radio station that you get information about God. The goal of it is so that you can be the man or woman of God equipped to do good works, like encourage other people and correct other people and train other people and help other people to know who Jesus is and what he is about. The purpose of the Word of God is always to bring about change in you. James says very clearly, he says that anyone who listens to the Word and doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Anointed teaching. It's aimed at life change. And it's aimed at teachers should expect their students to change. You should expect to change. So look at that last slide, Tim. Carbonsville Alliance Church believes that anointed teaching is a catalyst for transformation in individuals' lives and in the church. Teaching is for life change. So I guess here's the question. What life change do you need to make in response to the teaching you have received for the past 20 minutes here? What life change do you need to make in response to what I believe was anointed teaching from the Word of God here this morning? Are you being taught? Maybe you need to find your way to Sunday school on Sunday mornings. We have good Sunday school classes. I am so psyched about Don and Lloyd's Revelation series. Maybe you need to plug into that. Or maybe there's a membership class happening sometime around Easter. There's a sign-up sheet there. It looks like three or four families have signed up for that. Maybe you need to plug into that because membership really tells you what the church believes. Whether you're becoming a member or not, maybe that would be good. Or what about your children or your grandchildren or nieces or nephews? What kind of anointed teaching are they getting? You know what scares me to death? Is there kids who are maybe in 7th, 8th, 9th grade who have never been to church except once or twice when they were dragged there on Christmas or Easter? And so while they might know the Easter story that somehow or other Christians believe that Jesus came out of that tomb, and they might have heard the Christmas story that like there was a baby and angels and shepherds or something, they don't know who Noah is. They don't know who Jonah is. They don't know who David is. They don't know what it means to know God, let alone to make Him known. Are those kids in your family? Are those kids in your neighborhood? Are they in your extended family? Where are they going to get anointed teaching if you and I don't reach out to them and draw them in? Man, we have facilities here for kids. We have Sunday school teachers ready and able to teach. And on Wednesday night, Josh Thatchick and Jess Thatchick, Jess is a school teacher, and Josh is studying to become a school teacher. Jess, how many kids were in your Wednesday night Bible class this week? One! Woo! Oh, praise God! Oh, sad. Josh, how many did you have?
Two.
Oh, that's good. We don't have to worry. He's got two. That's enough, right? Anointed teaching is a catalyst for change in the lives of your children, your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren, your neighbor kids. We got good teachers. We got good facilities. We got the Holy Spirit of God. We got the Word of God. What are you going to do about these past 25 minutes of sermon? Just let it blow by? How about Sunday evenings? I feel like we do some anointed teaching on Sunday evenings. I'm starting something brand new tonight. It's how to manage your emotions. Man, I need that. How many of you feel like it would be good to look at a biblical perspective of how to control your emotions? Put your hands up. I feel like that'd be good for me. Okay? Good. All the hands that are down, ask your spouse if you need that course. Okay? Yeah, that would be good. Anointed teaching is a catalyst for life change. If you just have this in your bulletin, if you just pat yourself on the back and say, yeah, that's my church has believed that since the days of A.B. Simpson. He was a teacher who wrote over 100 books on teaching, and you don't apply the change, we might as well go fishing instead of doing this. Do you understand? Well, what about teaching itself? Are you called to teach? This morning, you saw it in a bulletin. We need children's worship leaders. What do children's worship leaders do? They teach. They teach little kids. Can you do that? That's if you believe that that is what is a catalyst for life change in the life of the church and the individual, then go ahead and do it. Speak to Wendy and say, I'm interested in that. Or what about Bible school? Bible school's coming up. What's the dates on Bible school, Laurel? Ha! Forgive Laurel. She woke up with a migraine headache this morning, and then she got out of bed and left him there. That would have been me. But March 27th through 31st, okay? That's a tough time to have Bible school because that's coming right up a couple weeks before the high school play. I mentioned that to you. That means that people like Tim and Esther can't be involved in Bible school. That means that people like Brennan can't be involved. And Sydney and Jim are giving their time to help with the Bible school things. They're kind of building relationships, cultivating relationships there, and doing the right thing. And others in our church family are as well. So that means we'll need anointed teachers for those kids. Can you do that? Bible school is a great place to learn because it's only a 5-day commitment, you know? Speak to Laurel if you can help with that. Anointed teaching is the catalyst for transformation in the life of the individual and of the church. How does God want you to respond to it as you've received it this morning?